trying to turn the page over from week one to week two in college football, but we can't do it without talking to our next guest because I want to figure out what lessons we learned, where we're at with this situation in college football. It's a learning experience for all of us. The game has completely changed. Favorites were dominating in week one. Will that trend continue? To help us break that all down, we're going out to the Progressive Guest Line, welcoming in our buddy Coach Big, Zach Bigelow, at Coach Big CFB on X, college football handicapper, more importantly, former college football coach, and maybe one day on the sidelines again. He joins us here on Cashing Out in his weekly spot. What's up, buddy? How are we feeling as we're now week zero in the books, week one in the books, and I don't know if we know anything more now than we did 2 weeks ago. What do you think about that?
Yeah, when everybody just schedules cupcakes week zero, week one, right? You're just like going through PFF grades and advanced analytics and you're trying to take something away from it. And you're like, yeah, when you played Northern Illinois or Furman, like how much can I really lean into these stats? So still really leaning heavily on what we wrote down in our preseason notes when we had 3 months of work to do it. But I'm remembering the hustle of when we finished the UCLA-Cal game on Saturday night and what I did for week zero, week one, in 3 months, we got to cream it into 3 days. But that's why we love it, right? We're not sleeping until the national championship's done.
No, but the one thing we need, and shout out to David Bennett, former Coastal Carolina coach, we need more dogs. We can't have these favorites just running amok on college football. Favorites dominated. Other than that, what did we learn? Did we learn something within that with the favorites dominating in week one? But where are you at with 2 weeks of data? Where is your knowledge gained in the college football season?
I think something I really took away is when adapt or die, right? We are in the portal era and you saw it more than ever in the LSU-Clemson game, right? Dabo, you can fight against it as hard as long as you want, but it'll be the end of you or you'll figure it out because on the other end of it, the portal king, Tiger King, came in and showed you what happens when you don't take advantage of it. And I think we think sometimes with the portal, the parity could potentially exist because we think of like more teams that could potentially win a national championship, right? And when the SEC is not sneakily paying for players and everybody can, now all of a sudden there's 7-8 teams that can win it. But when you look at it, those 7-8 teams can become even stronger than ever, right? And just guys just absolutely can't handle and hang with them. I think about like the USC Fresno State games or Miami going in Stanford, right? Those guys could have called their numbers and they still covered really big numbers that were hung on there because it was just that easy for them. If they would have gone pedal down, it would have been even worse, right? And the moms of those kids in those programs wouldn't have been able to sleep at night. So unfortunately, I think that the heavy favorites and the ones that have it and the one that get whatever they want out of the portal, they just get stronger. And that middle class becomes really interesting and when you can find your edges. But that's one of the biggest takeaways that I had is, but I felt like there'd be more parities because more teams can win the national championships, but it's just those national champion contenders and then everybody else.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to sum it up. There is a huge gap between the haves and have-nots. The haves have never had more. The have-nots have never had less, trying to do more with less. Zach Bigelow is our guest at Coach Big CFB on X. I really encourage you to mess around with some of the links he has on his social media page. You go to his website. You can do the matchup deal where you can take any two teams in college football and see how they match up. He's got a million categories for you there. The information is absolutely off the charts. With that, let's start looking at some of your plays for the upcoming week in college football. And we start with UCLA. That was one I think we were both on, taking down California on the road in Berkeley. Now they host San Diego State, their home opener. This one I'm seeing opening at 10.5. I'm still seeing some 11.5s out there. There is a 12 and a 12.5 as well. You want to lay it with the Bruins here? Talk to me about it, man.
So I actually want to start with the other side of it in San Diego State, right? Everybody thinks about this team and Sean Lewis, and he's an offensive guru, and they come out in week one and they lay 53 points. But it was against a really bad Portland State FCS team that only won one game before. And if you actually looked at what that box score should have been, one, they didn't cover. Two, that 33-point victory to me looks more like a 19-point victory. And that's rough considering who they played. The other thing that really drives me nuts is as much as we want to think about San Diego State and Sean Lewis as an offensive guru, remember last year's success team was all about defense. First round draft pick and corners, two DNs that did double digit sacks. The defensive coordinator's gone, that corner's gone, the D-line's gone, pretty much everything but two starters who are barely above average rated players are gone. And when you look at what UCLA just did to Cal, they were able to call their number running the football. And I see that happening again here. When I look at the handicap for UCLA, right? Part of the reason we liked him one week one, we like him when season win totals over, is everybody thinks Cignetti light, he's going to do the same thing. Well, let's learn from that Cignetti light angle again. When Cignetti first got to Indiana, if you got the open, you covered in week one, but if you got it against the close, you barely lost. But after that, he covered eight straight games against any number because the books were slow to catch up to Cignetti and what he could really do in transforming the program. I think that happens here. San Diego State, inflated box score. The defense really struggles. The experience is there. And then when you talk about the offensive guru, I like Sean Lewis, but Jaden Denegal, the quarterback he has, last year, rough, 59%, 9 touchdowns, 8 picks, and he still looked poor against that FCS team that's not going to be very good. I think UCLA takes a step defensively. I think offensively, they run the ball up and down the field. Nico Indrey should be fine from all accounts. It'd be a surprise if he wasn't, which I think is why it opened a little light. If you can get this under 13, I think you absolutely have to take it.
Zach Bigelow is our guest, college football handicapper at Coach Big CFB on X. Now, congratulations to everyone over the weekend who watched Kamario Taylor from Mississippi State play for the first time. You and I, very well aware of his talents and what he's capable of doing. And it does feel like a lot of people are just saying, well, I love the quarterback. Give me Mississippi State on the road in Minnesota this week. This is an intriguing matchup. And I know you are high on the Gophers coming into this season. How do you want to play this one? SEC versus Big Ten. Right now, we're looking at Minnesota -1.5 in a total of 55 and a hook, my friend.
So my free tool on my X account, the depth and value chart, which is going to value every single player in the two deep for every FBS team, and it's model based, so there's no bias there. It went 5-1 when the team that had the better roster on my tool was the underdog against the spread. Or sorry, 4-1, 5-1 if you count UCLA at close, they were the favorite, but they opened as the underdog. And so we're leaning on that tool again. Minnesota has the better roster here by a long shot. And what I really like about this is experience versus inexperience. This is going to be one of the biggest gaps in returning FBS snaps in all of week two, especially on the defensive side of the ball for Mississippi State. I went back and looked at it. Over 600 games, when a team has more than 3,000 returning snaps at the FBS level versus the other team, the win percentage is over 70%. And that's Minnesota here, the way more experienced team. And I've sat in this seat as an inexperienced bettor, and I've got like, oh, Kamario Taylor, I get excited about. It's part of why we won the UCLA bet, right? Everybody got excited about the Cal quarterback and JKS. So I get Kamario Taylor. I know what he's like. I know how special he is. We're all hearing about the Arch Manning Academy stats as well. But going on the road game with this inexperienced team this early into a Big Ten environment, I really want the experienced team. And then the matchup here that I think really gives me the edge is Mississippi State. The question has always been, will we ever have an offensive line again? And again, they're rolling out a bunch of inexperienced guys, some guys from some P4 programs, but guys that don't project very high, guys that have 258 snaps, 12 snaps, 11 career snaps before last weekend. And they didn't grade very well PFF pass blocking ways in this last week as well. And what does Minnesota have? That they have a very experienced defensive line, guys that have done 12.5 sacks, Anthony Smith, who could become a first round draft pick next year, Bush from Cal coming back, some other guys. And the stat that really comes out to me is Kamario Taylor got pressured on 47% of his dropbacks last year. He held the ball 3.4 seconds, but he was able to escape because he's a freak athlete. He's big, he's strong. No program converted pressure to sacks last year better than Minnesota. And that entire production returns. So Kamario Taylor does protect the ball, but he's throwing it away. That's going to lead to 3rd and 7s, 3rd and 8s, 3rd and 9s for an inexperienced team on the road for their first road game, Big Ten. Give me Minnesota, experienced team.
Coach, I love that breakdown. I think I may join you on Minnesota. It feels like it's going to be such a contrarian play, and I love Drake Lindsey as well. Now, you're breaking my heart with this next bet, because a few years ago, I won multiple national champions in EA college football with Kennesaw State. My new team is the Georgia State Panthers, where, fun fact, I was the first halftime host in the history of Georgia State football. What year? That was like 2011-ish, 2010-ish. But Georgia State versus Kennesaw State in the Peach State. You want to take the 9.5 with the Panthers here on the road?
Yes, and I've been holding this in my pocket in my holster, and I didn't know when I was going to play it, and turns out it's going to be really early. One of the biggest travesties in college football happened at Georgia State last year. They had a quarterback who was one of the most efficient passers in the country, and they ran him up as a backup and made him split time with six school 23-year-old TJ Finley. Cameron Brown last year graded up in the top 25% of all quarterbacks returning. 13 touchdowns, one interception, 146 quarterback rating, 65% completions. He was an absolute stud. And he was doing that between an offensive line that ranked 133rd out of 136 in pass blocking. So even with a nightmare situation in front of him, he was able to be successful. And so when I look at Georgia State and when they roll back, we go back to the depth and value chart. Experience may not be there, but the talent is. This is by far the most talented team. And we love what Kennesaw State did last year. It was really impressive. The really impressive pieces on defense for that defensive line are gone. The upgrade at the Georgia State offensive line is strong. They brought in seven transfer linemen, six of them from Power Four programs. It is a potential overproduction bet, but at least six of them we got a hit, and it's some sort of upgrade over last year. And the thing that I really like is Kennesaw State did some really special things with a really special quarterback last year. And they lost the trade with Syracuse. And in return, Syracuse sent them Ricky Collins. Ricky Collins was so bad at Syracuse last year, completing 54%, 10 picks, and 0 for 5 as a starter, that Fran Brown benched him for a true freshman on a lacrosse scholarship who walked onto the football team. The lacrosse kid went 4-18. He still trusted that kid over Ricky Collins. Quarterback gap's too far. 9.5 points is too much. It's a rivalry game. It'll be exciting. They're 23 miles apart, these campuses. Give me the better quarterback, the more talented team. I think Georgia State could win this. They're definitely covering 9.5.
He's Coach Zach Bigelow at Coach Big CFB. The information is incredible. Those are his three bets. UCLA laying the points, Minnesota money line, and Georgia State catching 9.5. Appreciate the time as always, buddy. Good luck with the bets.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dustin.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Me here, you there. Thanks for making us part of your night. However you may be tuning in, SiriusXM channel 189. I'm going to get it. SiriusXM channel 189. We moved, by the way. Just put it in our favorites. Put it in your favorites. YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. I should note, I took a look before the show started. This is great radio. How's my bald spot look if you're watching on TV? Circus Survivor is up to 20,281. Millions is up to 4,683. Grandissimo sitting at 55. You like that? You didn't think I was that nimble, that agile there, that flexible here to turn around and do that, but I did it. I defied all the odds. That's a big number for Survivor. I think we're clearing 25K. I know people are setting the number at 25K. I think we're getting to 28. Would I be shocked if they get to 30? Yeah. But I think you're going to see such an influx of people trying to get the last minute entries in over the next few days. Plus, you have the people who get knocked out on Wednesday or Thursday buying back it. I think we're getting a big number. I think we're getting more than 25. If you set the number at 25.5, I'm going over. That's my point there. I'm going over on that. Hey, do you think you're better than the experts? You want to compete kind of like contests like Circa Millions? Well, this one's more like the Circa Friday Football Invitational, the ones that the pros play here on the network. The Edge Boost Average Joe Contest. It puts you in the same pick'em format. Top Average Joe earns a spot in next year's Circa Invitational field. It's free to play. You can register anytime. Also, week by week, Edge Boost is offering its customers a $1,000 deposit if you finished first for the week. If you don't have an Edge Boost account, sign up at edgeboost.io with promo code VSiN. Make sure your account is funded with at least $100. Enter the contest today, VSiN.com/Joe. That's VSIN.com/Joe. We'll hear from some of the sharpest people here on VSiN as we do it every night at this time. It's a little thing we do called Night Bites.
At 4th-and-1 at midfield, you're up 11. The Raiders really can't do anything.
But they're one of the best teams in baseball.
Night Bites.
Night Bites. Let's go to the show that is on the air right before we hit the air everywhere. It is VSiN Primetime, Matt Eumanns, Tim Murray. They get the table set on the action all night long. Matt Eumanns is as sharp as it comes. I mean, legitimately, every time that I'm on a bet and Matt Eumanns is on it again, who is it? Oh, Eumanns was a guest. Okay. Eumanns does host Primetime. I'm being told the first clip is actually Eumanns as a guest on VSiN by the Books. Either way, still promoting Eumanns and his show. This is Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, VSiN by the Books. Eumanns waking up early when he's not asleep yet, technically, when he does this spot in the morning. He talked about Thursday night's game, San Francisco and the Rams. LA's laying 3.5, totals 48.5. And this is one of those situations where I feel better about things. I'm on San Francisco, and Matt Eumanns is on San Francisco. He explains why.
The Rams are being overvalued a little bit here early in the season. And to me, this is a more important part of the handicap, is that Myles Garrett did not practice the entire month of August. We're not sure if Aaron Donald's going to make much of an impact on this game. There's a lot of hype around the Rams right now. Matthew Stafford did not take a snap in the preseason. Puka Nacua has been dealing with all sorts of off-field issues. I like this Rams team a lot, but I think right now the Niners are in pretty even footing with them going into this season opener. And Brock Purdy played a little bit in the preseason. Kyle Shanahan's 11-8 against Sean McVay straight up. I like the Niners. I wouldn't be surprised if they win the game. I took +4 out at the South Point. Chris Andrews has had that up for a few days. But 3.5, basically the market number. I'll just go on record saying I'll take the Niners +3.5 in this game. I wouldn't be surprised if they win it.
Let's ride, Matt. Let's ride with those Niners. I think too much is being made of the injuries and that electrical substation. And those guys were dinged up. What's the quote? I can't remember what movie it's from. Are you injured or are you hurt? If you're injured, you can't play. If you're hurt, you're fine. I think that they were just hurt, the Niners, in the preseason. I think they're going to come out fine. I think there's a lot of pressure on them to be successful right away. Give me San Francisco catching the points as a dog on a neutral site there, and what I anticipate being a pretty low-scoring game. Now, Circa Survivor. I have multiple entries this year for the first time. I am hoping to make a little bit of money because I have a wedding to pay for in April. Hopefully that makes a dent in the bills that we have coming up here. Drew Dinsick also is in Circa Survivor. He joined Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin on a numbers game earlier today and talked about playing the Steelers over the Falcons in Week 1.
The Steelers are the kind of obvious choice here. I'm surprised that more of the pool is not on the Steelers. I'm surprised the market is sitting at 3.5 after we got the confirmation that Tua is going to be starting. And I don't understand this number. I don't understand why people aren't kind of coalescing around the Steelers as the straightforward chalk. They don't have a lot of future value. You could convince me that, they may be worth, saving for later in the season when they get, the Titans or the Browns or something like that. But I don't know. I think this is kind of the optimal time to fire Steelers.
I totally get where Drew's coming from here, and you guys know I'm down on Tua. I think Tua is absolutely done. I would just caution on this one as someone who, because when it comes to Survivor talk, it's all about your PTSD, like what knocked you out in the past. So after last year, I was knocked out on a Thursday night by San Francisco and Mac Jones on one leg against the LA Rams. I'm not going back to using Thursday night football ever again. I also am not going against first-year head coaches ever again, because the first time I entered the contest, D'Amico Ryans made his debut for Houston, and they knocked off Jacksonville in Week 1. And I believe that's how that went. And I lost my Survivor play there. So while I understand the sentiment, Atlanta still has plenty of weapons. And I don't really trust what's going on with Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers getting the band back together. I don't know what that's going to look like. There's just a lot of unknowns here. I appreciate the boldness of Drew, because if he's right about this, by the way, he sets things up very nicely the rest of the season. Pittsburgh's laying 3.5 in this one. It is at home. I understand where he's coming from. I'm just concerned with all the unknown. So right now, Pittsburgh wouldn't be my choice, but truth be told, I haven't locked in what I'm doing yet. I'm still figuring that out over the next couple days with both of my entries, and we'll see if we wind up going all in on one of these teams in week one in Circa Survivor. The next clip you're going to hear, the guru John Hansen is back with prop points. Catch him every single weekday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. He got into some of his futures and awards earlier today on the show, and he made a case for why he believes Justin Herbert and the Chargers, Herbert, will be your MVP this year.
I'm going to go Justin Herbert, though, at plus 1,000. I know he's Justin Herbert, and, you know, we default to being underwhelmed with Justin Herbert and the Chargers. I wasn't even a big Herbert guy coming out. I thought he had a little bit of a see-it-and-throw-it guy, you know, some inconsistencies there. And, of course, he comes out and balls out, and I'm like, oh, I guess I got that wrong. But then he has had some issues here. Certainly a very good player. We're a little worried about the center situation. Hopefully the second-round pick, Slaughter, can pick up the slack for Biotish. But we're going to get – we got Joe Alt back. I mean, that's huge at right tackle. Rashawn Slater, it might be a little iffy to open the season, but we operated last year, and Herbert was still, like, seventh in accurate throw percentage despite playing behind a sieve of an offensive line. We're going to be better than last year, no doubt. We're going to get presumably a full year of Aaron Hampton, so the offense should be cooking with gas. I love the additions. They add a guy like Brennan Thompson, who ran the fastest 40, to be your shot play guy. He's looked good. He'll probably catch like 11 balls this year, but for maybe like 21 yards. Love Ladd McConkey. Trey Harris is a nice little Swiss Army knife guy. I mean, he could do a lot. He was out there blocking a lot last year. And, of course, I love Charlie Kohler. He's the number one tight end, but they also have Aronde Gatson and David Njoku. It tells me they can beat teams in a variety of ways, very multiple. So I like the Chargers and Herbert.
Hey, I like where the guru's at. I'm a Justin Herbert truther here. I defend him. I make excuses for him. My only reason for not betting him is it's 10-1, and I already have Burrow at around 9-1 to win this award. I have Purdy around 22-1 to win this award. I'm not looking to stay in that section of the board, but I believe Herbert's going to have a monster year with Mike McDaniel as his offensive coordinator this season. Hey, the wait's finally over. College football's back. The NFL season kicks off on Wednesday. Now's the time to get your edge by becoming a VSiN Pro. By becoming a VSiN Pro today, you'll get instant access to our updated NFL betting guide with post-preseason updates, week one betting systems, contest strategies like Survivor, and fresh bets from everyone here at the network. Plus, you'll get the college football guide and everything we do at the website. Best bets, betting splits, prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Get started for $9.99. Save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Legend in the business, professional handicapper Scott Spreitzer. His best bets for NFL Week 1 are next.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on Cashing Out, I'm Dustin Sweetelson, coming to you as always from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Sirius XM Channel 189, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. We're hours away from the NFL getting started in 2026. We survived it, man. We had a brief moment where we cared about soccer, then we went back to baseball and we realized we need football to get here soon, and it's finally here. And a guy who's been handicapping for a very long time joins us with his best bets for NFL Week 1 now. He's Scott Spreitzer, DocSports.com handicapper, at Scott Wins on X, and he joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Scott, we survived. We made it to another football season. Congratulations to us. How are we feeling going into Week 1?
Feeling pretty good. You know, I'm happy to say that I still do follow soccer, but maybe just don't watch it. But I handicap the heck out of it. But I know what you mean, man. I'm tired of watching guys, you know, 22 guys or whatever it is, you know, for 2 hours trying to score and not scoring. So, you know, it's kind of a situation where I'm glad they're here. And you know, Dustin, doing your show, doing Patrick's show, doing other shows last week, I kept saying tap the brakes. We ended up with 5 plays and we go 3-1-1. Nothing huge, no big plays. I'm so happy to be 3-1-1 after week one. It is my least favorite week. But now, Dustin, I got like 2 dozen plays potentially in college football this week.
it's a minefield, man. That's all you're doing right now, Scott. You're going, I like 20, but I'm trying to avoid the ones where I know that I'm off here somehow. How do we whittle this down to the correct plays? My biggest concern with college football is the dogs weren't barking, and in out-of-conference play, I think that might continue, which I hate. You know this. Like, anyone can lay the wood. Anyone can find a favorite. It's identifying the underdogs that are live, like a Western Michigan going to Michigan, right? It's finding those needles in the haystack that really is the handicapping here. And I think it's kind of been killed because of the transfer portal.
Yeah, transfer portal, man, the rich get richer, right? And if you don't have an administration or maybe a coaching staff that can go out there and offer up a bunch of money, you're not going to be able to compete with everybody that's doing it. And so, you know, we're seeing some of that. You know, if there's a live dog out there, I'm going to probably regret saying this. I think Michigan might be a live dog this week, Dustin.
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, just based on where that line was, and I know you got to make adjustments. I mean, this is one of those, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Because if you lay it with Oklahoma and you lose, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I lost all that value and played them anyway. If you're on Michigan, you're like, and you get beat 41-10, you're like, what did I do? They're obviously as bad as they looked against Western. So I do think, though, that they're not a bad dog if people want to jump in this week on an underdog.
Yeah, I'm on the under in that game. But when Michigan was at 6.5, I kept checking in on it, thinking if it ever touches 7, on principle, you fire that,
yes,
and you go, if I lose, I lose. It's the right call in the situation. Scott Spreitzer is our guest, longtime handicapper, legend in the game, pro bettor, at Scott Wins on X, DocSports.com for all his information. Let's do your one college play, then we'll go to the NFL here. North Dakota State, they're laying 2.5 at Air Force. Total's 47.5. I got to tell you, week zero for North Dakota State, that looked like grown men pushing around Jacksonville State on the line of scrimmage. You're going to lay it here with the Bison on the road at Air Force?
Yeah, now that it's dropped, you know, these are big boys, the Bison. And, you know, they outscored Jacksonville State and Fordham by a combined 71-7. You know, Jack State, obviously nothing to write home about, but they're an FBS school. But the efficacy of Bison's quarterback, Nathan Hayes, man, I just really like it, watching him play. He makes smart reads, smart passes. He doesn't hesitate. He went 18-22 in one of those games. I know Liam Sarka is back, you know, from injury and played well for Air Force last week against Duquesne, but it was Duquesne. Here's the thing. North Dakota is so disciplined. That's why I think they can handle this option. And there's one thing that people aren't really talking about. Maybe you guys are Beeson, but North Dakota State's head coach was named head coach in December of 23. He had been there before as assistant many years ago. He also coached under Craig Bohl for 3 seasons, 2021 through 2023 at Wyoming. Guess what conference Wyoming is in? The same conference as Air Force. Guess who's seen the Air Force attack a couple of times and now is the coach of North Dakota State, who has more talent than Wyoming? Well, I think that does something really well for this North Dakota State preparation. Their head coach has seen Air Force more than once, and I think that's going to help this team here. Now, originally, this line was a couple of points higher. I probably wasn't going to jump in, but at 2.5, I had to pull the trigger, Dustin.
Yeah, I love the way you're reacting to the market there with the Bison on the road, ready to rock and roll and potentially win the Mountain West in year one. Let's kick it over to the NFL, where we have the Mayflower battle between the Ravens and the Colts. Baltimore laying 3.5 on the road. Your total's 47.5. You think the dog's live here? You're going to take the 3.5 with Indy?
Yeah, I do. And you'll recall, you know, a few weeks ago we're doing the show, and I like Baltimore this year. I think they're going to have a good season, but not necessarily in this game. I do see what looks like renewed excitement when Lamar speaks about the new coaching staff and Jess Minter and all those guys. But having said that, Daniel Jones, man, he's supposed to be healthy, right? And remember, before he got hurt last year, they win 8 out of 10 games to start the season. He gets hurt, everything falls apart, but he's got a top-notch offensive line, a decent running back next to him, a really good up-and-coming wide receiver in Alec Pierce. And then on the flip side, their secondary is really going to be a tough nut to crack, I believe, this season. So, man, getting more than 3, I went ahead and jumped in here on the Indianapolis Colts. I think they can, you know, not only cover by winning or by losing by a field goal or less, I think they got a good shot to win this game outright.
Chatting with Scott Spreitzer, professional handicapper, DocSports.com, at Scott Wins. You can find him on X. How about a teaser this week? Who are the two teams you're pairing together for a teaser in the NFL?
Okay, the first team I'm going to give you, probably everybody and their mother is going to be teasing this down, which would be the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I play 6-point teasers, by the way. Going to tease them down to 2.5. I don't think the Browns offense is in for any consistent, sustained drives with Deshaun Watson. And I know Cleveland has put some decent skill people around them, but they're young. I think it's going to take time. And the Jaguars, man, Dustin, they seem to be flying under the radar in the preseason during the summer. I don't know if they're going to get over that 8.5. And this is a good spot for a backdoor cover late. But, you know, Cleveland's got no Myles Garrett anymore. The secondary is going to be tested, I think, by Trevor Lawrence's skill position receivers. Tough group to cover. So I didn't want to lay 8.5. That's where it is now. But I don't mind it at 2.5. And, Dustin, I tied the New York Jets at +7.5 to Jacksonville on the 6.2 teamer. Again, the Titans favored for the first time in 2 years. They were terrible when they were favored the last 6 times. They lost 5 of those outright. I'm not the only one that's talked about that. I've never been a big fan of Geno Smith, but I do like him better in this spot than Cam Ward. And, I mean, did you watch Cam Ward in preseason, Dustin? The guy couldn't complete a downfield throw. So I'm going Jags -2.5 to the Jets +7.5.
Yeah, I like this. I'm also a little bit higher on the Jets than everyone else. I think they're going to be very competitive. While I understand the hype for Tennessee, people like their win total over 6.5. I like their defense. I'm with you. I got a seat with Cam Ward. His best moments at Miami, and I'm a Miami fan, so I watched a lot of it, were broken plays. He'd drop back forever. He'd evade a defender. Then the receivers would come off their route to come back to the ball, and he'd make these explosive plays. That doesn't exist in the NFL. I need to see him play within structure. And I think the Jets added a lot of grown men on defense, and they're coming out with urgency because Aaron Glenn is coaching for his job this season. How about a play?
Micah Fitzpatrick, DeMario Davis. I'm sorry to jump in on you there.
No, you're good.
But Micah Fitzpatrick and DeMario Davis are two names that come to my mind as you were talking about the defensive additions and how it's going to be more talented this year.
Totally different team. I think they're going to be adults, and Geno Smith is an upgraded quarterback. Like, I don't even know what we're talking about here. Let's go to Thursday night. San Francisco and the Rams in Australia. LA's a 3.5-point favorite. 48.5 is the total. You have a player prop you like. Who are you targeting in this matchup?
Workhorse Deebo Samuel. Man, I think he's going to work a lot in this game. Over 2.5 receptions. Now, as about of an hour before we did this show, I saw -146 was the lowest price I saw. Most of them are about around $1.55, but I think it's worth it at over 2.5 receptions. He's going to be a workhorse. Clay Kubiak, the OC, he came right out and said, we're going to get Deebo the ball. We've got to get him the ball. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he ain't bluffing. And the Rams are so tough in the trenches on defense, and they're tough in the middle of the field, that I think it's going to be a whole lot of dump-offs. And who's better, you know, at dump-offs than Brock Purdy and Deebo Samuel? And they've worked together before a couple of years ago before he left the Bay Area for a season. So you match Deebo against the middle of the defense for the Rams. I think that's advantage Deebo, advantage San Francisco. I think he goes over 2.5 receptions here. I won't be surprised if he hits 4 or 5 by the time this one's done.
Scott, real quick before we go, our buddy Steve Fezzik, pro handicapper, checking in, talking about teasers and the VIG we have to pay these days. What's your level of frustration? Because he's pointing out, like, getting -120 is tough. It's -130 in most places right now for these teasers. Like, how frustrating is that for you, someone who's been making money betting teasers for a long time?
For many, many years, I was laying $1.20 with 2-team 6-point teasers. I was never a 7-point teaser guy in the NFL, and I don't play college teasers. But yeah, it's very frustrating because there's nobody out there that I can find that's, you know, still letting you lay $1.20 on a 2-team 6-point teaser. It makes it tough to jump in these days. You got to lay $1.30. I've seen $1.35 on 2-team teasers, and that just, it kind of blows me away because it wasn't that juicy just, you know, 10 years ago.
And Fezzik wrote, God couldn't win laying 130 or higher. And I concur. That is a tough task. He's Scott Spritzer. Check him out, DocSports.com, at Scott Wins on X. Appreciate the time. As always, my friend, good luck with the bets.
But I'm not God. Take care, Dustin. Take care.
Seahawks, Patriots, Super Bowl rematch. We break it down next on
Cashing Out. You're on VSiN, the sports betting network.
NFL Weekly on the Sharps turns each week's NFL slate into sports prediction tournament. Everyone starts with the same chips, picks from the same slate, and lands on one public leaderboard so you can see exactly where you stack up. Enter at jointhesharps.com or scan the QR code on your screen. Use the code VSIN50 for a 50% deposit bonus up to $100. That's jointhesharps.com, promo code VSIN50. Welcome back into Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's VSiN, the sports betting network. We made it, people. The NFL is here. We will preview the Seahawks and the Patriots as part of our morning bet segment momentarily. But I want to remind you, if you missed any part of Cashing Out, you can always go back and download the show wherever you get your podcasts. Our buddy Mike Carver from Betting Weekly joined us in hour number one. He gave out three touchdown scorer props that he loves for this week. That is a market he is very sharp in. Marshall Newhouse, Super Bowl champion, joined us in hour number two. He's been on an NFL team that's had to play overseas before. He explained some of those challenges that the Rams and the Niners, the Seahawks, well, not the Seahawks, the Rams and the Niners are going to go through and other teams are going to go through later on in the season. Stuart Durst, handicapper with his best bets in NFL week one, Zach Bigelow on college football week two, and Scott Spritzer in our last segment with all of his best bets, all of them available at VSiN.com/picks. And remember, go back, download the show wherever you get your podcast. With that, we turn our attention to the NFL season 2026 week one. It's officially here. The New England Patriots are in Seattle to take on the Super Bowl champion Seahawks. Seattle's laying 3, 3.5, depending on where you shop. Total, down from 45 to 44.5. Curious to see how this number moves as we get closer and closer to the first kickoff of the year. Here's what we know as far as injuries. Travion Henderson, the running back for New England, he is out for this matchup for the Patriots. Christian Barmore, their defensive lineman, is going to play, it looks like. He's been dealing with a knee injury, but he practiced Monday and Tuesday. Looks like he's set to go. For Seattle, their secondary may have a couple of key guys out, most notably safety Nick Amanawori, second-year guy out of South Carolina, and he has an ankle injury. ESPN's Brady Henderson reporting he appears unlikely to play in this one. Officially listed as questionable is Amanawori. The problem is Ty Okada, another safety for Seattle, also dealing with an injury. His status is in question as well for this matchup with the New England Patriots. Torrey Horton, the wide receiver, second year out of Colorado State, has a hamstring injury for the Seattle Seahawks coming into this one. Now, for New England, there's a couple elements at play for them. One, this is a better team than we saw in the Super Bowl. They have way more firepower on offense. It's not just A.J. Brown coming in offensively. It's Romeo Doubs. And while the corners are great for Seattle, I do think missing those two safeties potentially for the Seahawks, that is something the Patriots may be able to exploit over the middle of the field. Hunter Henry might have a big game for them. That's someone that I would consider from a prop perspective. Now, my one official play as of right now, though, is on the running back, Ramondre Stevenson, because, one, he had 40 receiving yards against Seattle in the Super Bowl not that long ago. More importantly, Henderson's out. We're looking at bell cow work coming up here for Ramondre Stevenson in this matchup because the depth chart behind him at running back, it is slim for the Pats. Also, Seattle is great at stopping the run, and most teams that stop the run force the opposition to throw the ball to the running back out of the backfield if they want him to make plays in space. With that, Seattle allows the sixth most receiving yards from a year ago to opposing running backs. Everything tells me Ramondre Stevenson's going to be heavily worked into the attack. 23.5 was the number I bet. It's 24.5. I still like the over at that number. I think we're looking at 30-plus potentially for Ramondre Stevenson in this matchup because if those corners do take away Brown and Doubs on the outside and it's just Henry and Stevenson, I think Drake May is going to be happy dinking and dunking his way to first downs and hopefully touchdowns in this game. With those safeties maybe out for Seattle as well, I lean over. I think New England's got more firepower. And the Seahawks with a new OC and Brian Fleury, they want to hit the ground running. They're going to come with plenty of tricks up their sleeve for the Patriots after decimating them in the Super Bowl back in February. As far as the betting trends go coming into this matchup, they do point me to the over as well. Now, let's start with the side. Last seven matchups, Seattle's 5-1 against the spread against New England since 07. The over is 6-1. Seattle's 3-0 against the spread at home versus New England going back to 2007. Mike Vrabel, as the head coach of New England, 13-7 against the spread, 12-9 to the over overall. He's 7-2 against the spread on the road, 4-0 against the spread, 3-1 to the over as a road underdog. Mike McDonald, 21-14 against the spread, 20-17 to the over as a head coach. 8-10, though, covering 11-8 to the over at home. He's 6-4 against the spread, 9-1 to the over as a home favorite of 7 or less. The question for me when it comes to primetime football is who do we bet for first touchdown in the game? because I love doing this in primetime games. It's isolated. We're all watching. And there's usually weird things that happen. And I think there could be value on guys deeper down the board. Like, I'm not going to bet Ramondre Stevenson. I'm not going to look at Jadarian Price. I'm not looking at Jackson Smith and Jigba. To me, I think the defenses are looking at those guys as well in an ultra-heightened environment in week one of the season. So that means some other guys could have opportunities. Looking at both of these teams, first New England. Last season, scoring their first touchdown of the game, six times it was their tight end, five times it was the receiver, three times running back, one time or two times defense or special teams, and one time quarterback. For Seattle, eight times a receiver scored their first touchdown. A lot of those was Jackson Smith and Jigba, who had 20 red zone targets on the year. Six times their running back scored the first touchdown, and tight end and defense special teams were both tied at one. In terms of allowing touchdowns, New England allowed eight touchdowns to wide receivers as the first score for the opposition. Four times it was a running back, three times a tight end, one time quarterback, one time defense special teams. For Seattle, wide receiver was the most with six. Two for running back, or three for tight end, two for running back, two for quarterback, one for defense. DeMario Douglas has the most returning red zone targets among wide receivers for New England. Stephon Diggs is gone, right? They welcome in Brown and Dobbs. Douglas had eight a season ago. Mac Hollins, second among receivers. I considered him at a big price of 40-1 to be the first touchdown scorer in this game. Hunter Henry out-targeted Austin Hooper 23-5 in the red zone last year for New England. A.J. Brown, he led Philadelphia last year with 13 red zone targets as a wide receiver. For Seattle, Jackson Smith and Jigba had 20 for Seattle in terms of red zone targets. Cooper Kupp had 14, though. Plenty of looks for him in the red zone because, as I mentioned, the opposition is looking to bracket and take away Jackson Smith and Jigba. Jake Bobo only had two red zone targets, but they both came in the Super Bowl against these New England Patriots. And then finally, A.J. Barner led Seattle tight ends with 18 red zone targets. Elijah Arroyo, the backup, had five. I considered Arroyo around 34-1, but I just don't know if he's going to be on the field. And A.J. Barner was a guy that Sam Darnold trusted in the red zone. So here are the five plays. And what I do for first touchdown is I split a unit up among these bets, whether it's four or five, sometimes six if I go for a super long shot around 70 or 100-1. Here are my five bets we're going to roll with. Shortest one on the board is A.J. Barner for everything I just mentioned. Tried and true, Seattle in the red zone, that usually is the guy they look to through the air. I'm also taking Cooper Kupp around 14-1 as well. As I mentioned, right behind JSN with the targets, and I think there's so much attention being paid to JSN. You have to factor in the speed of Rashid Shaheed as well. Cooper Kupp might just slip underneath some coverage and find his way getting 6 points and finding pay dirt. I'm also on the other side for New England taking Hunter Henry plus 1750. I just mentioned it. One, it's a good matchup against Seattle. Two, Drake May loves to look for him to score. And I'm also going to take Drake May 19-1. Ramondre Stevenson is the running back for this game. Everyone after him is a huge question mark. Drake May have to call his own number on something broken in the red zone to score a touchdown in my long shot. We are going with Pop, DeMario Douglas at 37-1 in this game to be the first touchdown scorer. So that was A.J. Barner, Cooper Kupp, Hunter Henry, Drake May, and DeMario Douglas. We hit one of those. We're sitting nicely for the next few weeks up in the first touchdown market. I do it for funsies. I don't do a full unit, as I mentioned. But football's back. It's going to be fun to watch it. And as far as the game is concerned, I lean Seattle because the disrespect card, but I like the over a lot better than either side in this matchup. As far as Major League Baseball is concerned, I also like the Cleveland Guardians with Foster Griffin in Baltimore taking on Shane Boz. Boz has been very good. I trust Griffin more. And I think we have to start to acknowledge that the Cleveland Guardians are actually a good baseball team. Being a little bit undervalued, give me them in a pick 'em, minus 110. I'm also backing Milwaukee, minus 135 against the Cubs. Kevin Gausman, I don't trust as much right now as a member of the Cubs. He's there for the postseason. He hasn't looked as sharp as I would have liked. And I think Logan Henderson is humming right now for Milwaukee. Hey, we're just getting started here. NFL coverage all day long. It gets started at 7 a.m. Eastern with VSiN by the Books, Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis. They have you covered. They hand it off at 10 a.m. Eastern time to Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin, who are followed by the guru, John Hansen, at 1 p.m. Eastern with Prop Points. I'll be back with a Wednesday edition of Cashing Out as we take you through the end of the game with the Seahawks and Patriots kicking off the 2026 NFL season.